Yeah, that's right. Flula, milkman, party times!
Live from San Luis Obispo, you are listening to Hurricane and Scroggs. I am JD Scroggin. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main. Owen, what's happening, pal?
JD Scroggin. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. And first things first, before we say anything, we have to announce that our good friend Jesse P., friend of the program, and his wife are expecting any day now.
Any day now.
Is that can we put that out there?
Oh yeah, it's
baby
well known.
Baby number two.
And you're expecting any in like months, right?
Hold on, that's private information.
Do you want me to pause it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'm like, wait. Was I supposed to say that?
Yeah. Well,
you got me.
That we'll put it this way. I will be honest with this in this way. Since this is a little listen to podcast, the people that I don't want to know, I'm sure don't listen. But I just want to put it out there, there's people that I don't want to know.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Who are those people? Like,
I can't tell you.
Well, they don't listen.
Someone will listen, and then it'll get to somebody.
If you say their name. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Well, okay, I'll
I won't be calling out names.
I'll start the podcast over if you want.
No, it's cool.
Okay. Well, happy New Year, JD.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, how was your holiday?
It was good. It was good. I wanted to ask you this. We didn't talk about this before the show, but what did you get for Christmas? Oh, I'm curious. That's what I was thinking about driving over. I was like, what did Owen get good for Christmas? You mentioned a router.
I got a router. That wasn't for Christmas. That was because the old one kept you had to sign on like every time you opened your computer. You had to turn off Wi-Fi, then turn Wi-Fi back on because it wasn't.
No, it was broken.
It was not working well.
Gotcha.
It was functional, kind of. Yeah, it was more of a home improvement, and it's a better router, so it gets back to like the back room. Because if you know
does it get to here to this room? Because sometimes
I
have problems.
It should be
getting Wi-Fi in here.
It
before.
Should be very good.
It looks like it's full bars.
Yeah, exactly.
Upgrade.
It's an upgrade for sure. And our router is actually placed in the least strategic location possible. And that is next to the fireplace. In the corner of the house.
On one far end of the house.
On one.
That's how ours is too, but it's only because that's where the cable comes in.
Yeah.
And I could put the cable to another room, but it's like, I don't want to do the hassle and then drill through the wall. And
yeah. And there is cable in other places, but it wasn't set up that way. Hmm. And the dog has bit those cables on the outside of the house to shreds. So I'm just kind of going with where I know the cable guy, the last time he was here, put a new cable in.
Because
the dog had bit all the cables, so he just put this one new one in. And he'd probably have to come out and do other new ones in terms of threading cables. When it comes to also kind of having the router in the baby's room, that doesn't make a lot of sense either. And then you're
babies can get radiation, those kind of Wi-Fi things.
Or she could.
That's what I read.
Yeah, I don't know.
When our first one was coming around, the band.
Yeah,
I remember reading that too much wireless stuff around the baby is like bad radiation.
Interesting.
So
okay, well, I'll keep.
There's
that in
your
mind.
Health tip for the day. Yeah, so what'd you get? Anything good?
Yeah, I got some good stuff. I got. I'm probably gonna forget like the main thing that I got. I'm trying to process it here. I got. What did I get for Christmas? Some cool stuff.
Some cool stuff.
Why don't you tell me what you got first, and then I will try to. Oh yeah, I got a radio. I got an old timey radio. No, we have an old timey radio at our house.
Like a two way radio, like a ham radio.
It takes light bulbs. To like use. My wife has one of those from like her grandfather's house or something.
Sheesh. From like the 30s.
But if you look in the fansmanship,
does it still get the old like radio programs? Like this is a Green Hornet.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
No. But it will get radio stations if the lights are all there and one of the lights has burned out, one of the bulbs. So you have to have all the bulbs like intact. If you look in the fansmanship.com studio where we're sitting to your right, you will see an amazing radio, an amazing stereo system that's really well kept. Well kept.
Yeah.
Well kept.
Is that Iowa brand?
It's a Sony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it needed to be
Sony Guts.
Needed to be replaced. And so What my wife got me was, you know, something to replace that in the garage. That's a little bit smaller. It's got Bluetooth capability. And I think it's kind of a motivating thing to like clean up the garage. Cause my garage is kind of crappy, in terms of it being,
so it's like
clean.
You can't get this radio until they clean,
I mean,
until
I
you
have
clean
it
up, Owen.
I obviously haven't set it up. So I still feel guilty about it, but yeah, I'm going to need to set up the radio in the garage. I got tickets to, like a comedy show. Jenny got Second City tickets for us to go see at the PAC. Got a Foo Fighters album that she got for me.
Cool.
The coolest thing I got was actually something my daughter got. It's a little plastic slide.
Yes.
And it's like this high off the ground, probably like 2 feet off the ground, and with like two stairs on the ladder, and she climbs it and goes down it and comes around to the other side and climbs it. She'll be on that, just that little stupid little slide for like, I mean, hours.
And then you don't have to watch her. This is why
no.
It's good.
No, you do have to watch her.
Oh, okay.
Because on the side of the slide at the top, it doesn't really have rails or anything to keep them from falling off.
Sure.
And the 16-month-old still kind of isn't super sure, especially when she gets tired after having done it like 20 or 30 times. Now her legs are a little tired. Now she's like a little bit more wobbly.
Well, I was just trying to wonder how this is a gift for you, because you were like, the coolest thing I got was I don't have to watch the kid as she goes on the slide for 3 hours and I don't pay attention to her.
No, the coolest thing is being able to pay attention to her.
Oh, okay.
She's so stoked about it.
Okay.
So that's really fun. She got that from...
Wait, you like paying attention to your kids? That'll fade.
Rookie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty mellow Christmas. We had the in-laws in town. How about you? Do you get anything good?
I got lots of movies. We got a 3D TV like over the summertime.
Oh.
It was crazy because...
Do you have to wear glasses?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not like... It's the passive 3D. So it's like the theaters. So we actually have gone to a couple 3D movies since we bought the TV.
Okay.
And you just keep the glasses and take them home and they work on the TV.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to buy extra pairs. Every time you go to movies, just save them.
And you can... watch the movie without glasses, or do you have to have the glasses on the TV?
If you want to see 3D, you have to wear the glasses.
But does it look weird if you don't have the glasses?
Yes.
Okay. So what's
it's just like
about
if you
it?
Go to the theater.
So what's passive about it?
Oh, because it's just due to technologies. The active, you have to see the active screen. You have to wear the glasses that have battery packs in them.
Oh,
and
really?
And what they do is they block out one eye and then they let the other eye show really quickly, so they kind of shutter.
Oh, random.
But that's how you see the 3D.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I like
the active is apparently I've never been on live TV before. the active
apparently
yeah, the active is supposed to be more high def.
Okay.
But the passive, you don't have batteries, and the active, you know, those are the ones that people complain about headaches and stuff.
Right. Totally. Yeah,
so there's no headaches with this one. And it's really cool. And nice. The cool thing
so
about
you got
it
a lot of movies in 3D then. And you buy like the Blu-ray in 3D?
I didn't have very many at that point. I think I had one.
Okay.
When we bought TV, I had one Blu-ray movie, and it was the Thor Blu-ray.
And
Thor 2.
But you buy the Blu-ray with a 3D logo on it, right?
Yes.
And it's probably a little bit more?
Yes, it's more.
Right.
I got the Thor Dark World one. The only reason I had that was because I wanted the digital copy, and the only bundle pack that came with the digital copy was the 3D one, and I didn't have use for 3D. I was like, whatever. And then I got a 3D TV, and I was like, cool. So,
but it's the only one I have.
Yeah. Okay. So I got a bunch of 3D movies for Christmas.
I got a movie.
What? You got a movie for Christmas?
Yeah.
But I thought it was my turn.
Well,
now you're taking over.
I just remembered.
Oh, okay.
Guess what movie? I bet you might have got it too, if you didn't already have it.
Was it Tusk? I ordered Tusk. It's coming in the mail today. Or no, it's on Friday. It's supposed to be come on Friday.
Let me put it this way. If you didn't already have it, I would have been surprised.
What was it?
From this year.
Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
No.
The Godzilla.
You're getting colder.
You were
closer with Captain America.
Oh, is it Guardians of the Galaxy?
It is Guardians of the Galaxy.
I got Guardians of the Galaxy too. My wife and I just
for
watched
Christmas.
It. Yeah, for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
My wife and I just watched it the other day.
Nice.
Well, I watched it and she fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, that's about right.
If you ever hear me say on this podcast, my wife and I watched something, what I really mean is I watched it and she fell asleep on the couch.
Nice. Nice. Cool. So tell me what else. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's all. I got some other stuff here and there, but I'm excited about the movies.
Yeah.
And this is my segue because you remember, we haven't talked about this because I remember the last time we podcasted was probably around Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
And the big scandal going on around Christmas time was that The Interview... movie
Nice. Yeah.
Movie by Seth Rogen
yeah.
was in danger.
Uh-huh.
There was a big, you know, there was a big hack of the Sony Corporation.
And they said that there will be a 9/11 like attack on
Yes, there was a sack of the if you've been under a rock, let me just recap for you. There was a hack of the Sony Corp. The hackers started releasing all this stuff.
There was everyone, a sack of the Honey Corp?
Yes. Uh-huh. And everyone started jumping on the news like, ooh, movie rumors, woo. Right. But then they didn't realize, like, wait, who's doing this?
Right.
And then it totally. Turned out that there that possibly it was terrorist activity and possibly linked to North Korea because of the Interview movie, which depicts the attempted assassination. I guess it's a spoiler alert. It's the successful assassination
of Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un, the dictator there in North Korea. And so, yeah, you're right. The hackers came out and said there's going to be 9/11 violence if you go to these movies. So, you know, the movie theaters backed out. The theater, Sony wasn't going to release the film. They eventually did release it on Christmas time to some independent theaters. I think it's still out there in some theaters. Maybe not locally. I'm not sure. I haven't looked. Sorry, I didn't do my homework. But it was released on video on demand. And did you see on Facebook, one of the first things I said when I saw they weren't releasing the movie, I was like, as soon as they put it on VOD, I'm getting it out of principle, basically.
Right.
I'm sure it's a terrible movie.
As an American. As an American who believes in freedom.
Just as somebody who is defiant to
North Korea.
Bullying, basically. Yeah. Like cyberbullying.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I didn't like the message that sent. So, I picked it up on video on demand, and we watched it the other day. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't.
Oh, man.
Was it as bad as you hoped for?
We might have to get a viewing party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, on your 3D TV.
Are you even interested in seeing it, though? Let me ask you that. Before I give you my review, what's your take on the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it just like I saw other types of movies like this. I think...
What do you mean other types of movies?
Like Pineapple Express, you know, Seth Rogen-type movies that are, like, ridiculous. Pothead movies for... Yeah, and so like that's exactly kind of what I'm picturing this is. Like Your Highness was a really bad version and Pineapple Express was a really good version.
Wait, you liked Pineapple Express?
Uh-huh, totally.
And you didn't like Your Highness?
Correct.
Really? Wow.
I mean, Your Highness was like, it fell flat, man. See,
Your Highness made me laugh.
Oh, it made me laugh too. So did Pineapple Express really made me laugh.
I don't remember liking 1 second of Pineapple Express.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I watched it and it made no imprint on me whatsoever.
Huh, there you go.
But Your Highness, I remember like laughing.
Yeah.
Like out loud laughing.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So that all that said, I do like these movies most, you know, a lot of the time. It's not one that I would like necessarily pay to see in theaters, but when it comes out, I'll go watch it.
So does the hacking and the threats make you want to see it more?
Yeah, it did for a second. It made me want to see it more for a second when I still didn't know how bad that the reviews generally were. And then I saw the reviews and I'm like, I can just see it at some point in my future of my life. Which is, you know, maybe the viewing party at JD's house.
Yeah, you should come over. I got it on Google Play.
Okay.
And I didn't just rent it once for the one-time viewing.
You got it.
I got the Anywhere, Everywhere download version of it.
So
we can watch it as many times as you want.
How much did that cost you?
It was like $15, maybe. Okay. Somewhere maybe like $13. Now, I don't know. It was somewhere
before your review,
in that range.
Before your review of the movie, a lot of people before the movie came out were talking about how it was going to be this revolutionary thing and it could change the way that movies were released in the future.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I feel like I'm losing my train of thought here.
Well, I'll keep going. I struggle with maybe this will turn your brain here. I struggle with the VOD thing myself. Because I told you I bought Thor just so
I don't think that enough people did it to make like a huge imprint on and to change the way that movies I mean, is that the news that's out there, or is the non-news about the fact that they didn't sell millions and millions of this thing?
The news stories that I saw after the debut were that the box office, for as few screens as it was on, the box office was impressive.
Did really good.
Uh-huh. And the news stories that I saw said that basically it seemed like people were happy with the VOD numbers, that it got good numbers.
Sure.
It, as far as Google Play goes, I remember reading this story on Google Play. It was the biggest movie of the year by far, not even close. Like, it blew away everything, and it was only out for like a few days of the year.
I think people are starting to get more and more comfortable with buying a product and paying for like $15 for something that they can't actually tangibly hold.
Yeah.
I think every year that goes by, there's more and more impetus to like say, okay, it's on my Amazon cloud or it's on my Google Play cloud or whatever. And I would imagine that at the end of 2014 was way better than the beginning of 2014, even without this movie, for something like Google Play, because I think over time right now, it's kind of starting to be more and more widely adopted in terms of being able to see something on the cloud that way.
Yeah. And this might be the one where enough people get it on download that it kind of is okay. You know, you get okay with the idea of not having the physical one. Cause I like the VOD. Like I bought that Thor: The Dark World 3D version just so I could get the download. I had no use for the 3D.
Right.
And so I enjoy the downloads too, because I put them on my tablet and my son watches them in the car. He watches kids movies, like Disney movies, not Thor. Right. But
So let's hear your review.
I look at all right. We'll just move on.
No, I mean, you look at what?
Well, I didn't even finish saying my sentence.
Oh, I thought you were done.
My wife listened to our last podcast. Uh-huh. She drove down to Simi Valley for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I put it on, and she listened, and she said two things. She's like, you need to let Owen talk. He's like, you talk too much. You cut him off. You need to legitimize what he's saying.
I can totally hear her saying that.
So I need to work on that. I need to work on legitimizing what you say.
Okay. Thanks, Sam.
If you hear this, you will listen to the rest of the podcast. I will be trying my best to legitimize Owen.
Oh. Wow.
And also she said your voice goes down and then it's hard to hear.
It kind of trails off a little bit.
Yeah, so you should just
ether.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes
it's hard to listen to it's hard to listen to in the car.
Right.
Especially because your voice goes down and then we can't hear
you. This is a great segue to my next topic today.
Wait, hold on. Let me give my review. I'll give my review of the interview before we segue to the next topic.
All right, go ahead.
I know you want a rant and I'll give you the rant.
Go ahead. No, it's a good segue, but go
ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Interview, go.
Interview. So we talked about those other movies before. Interview silly really seems kind of in that vein. I kind of liken it to like a cross between Superbad and Your Highness is probably what I would say, because it's like Your Highness. That's that kind of humor, but it's also in like in modern day. So there's like modern day jokes. It's not like old-timey humor.
Yes. Medieval jokes.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's kind of a cross between the two.
Okay.
I laughed a lot. I laughed out loud many, many times.
Okay.
And there's like a climactic fight at the end with Seth Rogen and one of the like enemies.
Of course.
You know, and it starts out, and I don't want to. Should I do spoilers?
If you want, I don't care.
Or should I avoid spoilers?
No, you can do spoilers.
Okay, this is a spoiler review, just so you know.
Yeah.
So if you don't want an interview spoiled for you, this is a spoiler review. So just like skip ahead a few, like 5 minutes, and you'll miss it.
Yep.
So at the end, Seth Rogen is having a big showdown with one of the guys in the control room, because what they do is the interview is they televise an interview with Kim Jong-un and what's his name? The other actor.
James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. For some reason, I was thinking Flacco. It's probably the Obama thing. James Franco, and they do these interviews.
Why does Flacco have Obama?
You didn't hear about that?
Okay, we'll go through that later. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyways, Franco and Un are doing the interview. This is what the whole movie is about. Like, these journalists go, they're like Entertainment Tonight journalists, basically. And they go to North Korea to do like an interview, that's going to get them credibility. Anyway, so they're actually doing the interviews at the end, and instead of assassinating him, they decide they're going to expose him in this interview. Instead of throwing softball questions, they're going to do hard-hitting questions. So anyways, as they're doing the hard-hitting questions, the people in the control room are trying to shut it down. And Seth Rogen is like stopping them from shutting it down, because he's like, no, we have to broadcast this so everyone knows.
Sure.
That's my Seth Rogen voice.
Of course.
We got to do this. We got to stop him. This interview has to go out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's stopping them, and one of the guys he's fighting with bites off his finger.
Oh, no.
He like bites off one of his fingers, which is, it's cool because it happens in like these action movies all the time when people are struggling. They're like, they bite someone's finger off.
Okay.
Then, as like they keep struggling, they struggle, and there's cut scenes, they go back and forth. Then later on in the fight, he bites off the other guy's finger, like as revenge.
Uh-huh.
and then they struggle, cut scenes, more and more and more. You think Seth Rogen's finally going to pull it off, and then the other guy rebounds and bites off another one of his fingers on the same hand. So it just turns into this like
finger biting
off, like climax fight. It's hilarious. It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you should see
the interview.
Yes, it's awesome.
That's I'll come
kinda,
over and
kinda,
check it out.
I kind of spoiled it for you.
Well, I'll come over
but
and
it's
check
still
it out.
Funny.
Yeah,
yeah, you should check it out. And like, you know, it's really silly. Let me just preface by saying this: like, it's not a serious sure, movie. Sure. Like as much, you know, debate about whether it was appropriate or whether they should show it or, you know, right, all the terror, serious things that were happening.
It's a ridiculous film.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. There's nothing serious about it at all.
That was super clear.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're going in there thinking like this is going to be like sharp satire of North Korea, it's not.
Right.
It's not. It's just silly, funny, you know, poop humor, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Which, you know, never gets old on some level.
No.
You were talking about listening to podcasts in the car. And how
yes.
and how my voice Rant trails away. Off in the car.
Yes.
Sorry about
Well, no, because you're driving in the car.
No, I know.
And you're going over the gravel, you know, whatever. And,
so you
and
listen
to
it with your phone, but then you plug your phone into your thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, into your stereo.
Yes.
Yeah, and probably when I just said stereo, that was probably not loud enough for somebody to hear, especially if it's droning on and on and on.
You plug it into your stereo.
Right, that's kind of how I talk.
That's kind of how you talk.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Hello. So what I was going to say is how do you what's the podcast listening thing of choice that you use? Do you go to the website on your phone? Do you go to you use a pod catcher or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have a podcast app.
What's it called that you use?
I have to look at it cuz I recently changed. I was using another one and it started not working very well.
Cuz I'm at a crossroads, as you know, sometimes at the beginning of any year, things like contracts and radio and TV are not picked up. And one of my favorite shows, podcasts, is like the Adam Carolla Show. I listen to that show a lot. And he, at the beginning of the year, dropped his News Girl, was like the technical title for it, I think. Her name is Allison Rosen. And I like her podcast too. And it was on the Adam Carolla Network.
Oh,
I like both of these podcasts. And she has her own podcast as well.
Yeah.
And so like, both she's going to be off the Carolla Show and she's going to be like not on Carolla's thing. Recently, Carolla got off of the Stitcher app, which we use here at this for the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast and also for Fansmanship. The Stitcher app is really cool. It kind of stitches together all your favorite podcasts. And so not only do I have to have the Adam Carolla app now, if I want to listen to his show, you have to have his app. But also...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I like that.
I don't think I do either. I don't think I do either. He's not on Stitcher anymore anyway. I don't know if you have to have his app, but I think you kind of do. I kind of think you do, which is, I don't know if I like that either.
Well, you should just, maybe you use Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Maybe you should just try another app.
More of a feeder. Because
you have an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Well, just, is it not on iTunes?
It probably is. Yeah, I just don't like that app.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the iTunes
app. The one I use is Podcast Republic. I have an Android phone. It's called Podcast Republic. I really like it. It works really well. I like it because you can bring all your podcasts into one place, one app, and listen to them
all. So this is what I'm saying. I think I need more of a feeder.
Yes.
Stitcher's great because I can create stations and channels, but I think a lot of feeders, you probably can do similar things with a lot less overhead, I guess. So I'm gonna be looking into other feeders that aren't the Adam Carolla app and that might not be Stitcher either, but I like Stitcher a lot. So,
yeah, double check. I don't know. Maybe
it's the beginning.
Adam Carolla took his thing off of Stitcher.
Yeah, he took it off of Stitcher.
Yeah, well, maybe it's still out there. Like you can get the feed from his website and import it into
or it's on iTunes still somehow. Yeah. Right, because if it's on iTunes, then there's a feed.
Yeah, I totally cut you off. So to legitimize what you were saying previously before I cut you off.
Please continue
your thought.
So yeah, that was my thought, really. It's that I have to reevaluate right now my organization of podcasts. And as a podcaster and a podcast consumer, I'm totally taking this year as like a fresh year. I've used Stitcher for like 3 years and it's been awesome. But when your favorite podcast and when your favorite like podcast network that you consume is no longer what it used to be.
Adam Carolla is your favorite, you would say?
I would say it has the most interesting content because it has a home improvement show, it had Allison Rosen's show, and it had the
Carolla
show.
So you were listening
to
multiple shows
on
the Adam Carolla network.
Yeah, which is why I downloaded the app eventually. But gotcha. I don't know if I even want it anymore. Like it reminds me why the business part of radio, TV, media is just kind of brutal and it's always changing, and I guess we all have to be open to change in the new year. So that's like my New Year's like thought was like, oh man, I didn't realize kind of how much like that was like a steady thing. You know, when you listen to the same shows over and over day after day. I remember, do you remember the Mark and Brian radio program? Did you ever listen to Mark and Brian? KLOS in LA. They used to be on Sly 96 here in SLO.
Okay.
Back in the day, and they just recently, the last couple of years, they both retired from doing it. But they were on KLOS in LA for years and years, and they were like a favorite radio program when I would drive up and down to school every day for 20 or 30 minutes. And when you get back, when that changes, so there was like a segment that they used to do during the time that I drove to Cambria in the morning that was always really funny. And when it stopped, it was like, oh man, that's just not happening anymore. And it's just like realization that you have to remind yourself that nothing's kind of permanent, I guess, in the world.
Yeah.
So
I used to listen to Dan Patrick, and I would only listen to it when Keith Olbermann came on.
Right.
And then when he stopped having Keith Olbermann on, I just stopped listening to the show.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So
sorry, Dan Patrick. If you're ever in control of my destiny in the future, I don't think you ever will be. But if you are,
JD would make a great Danette.
You're not that interesting.
No.
Nope. You need Olbermann.
Olbermann's the man. Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. I really liked Olbermann's take on Stuart Scott last night. Did you watch that video?
I haven't seen it yet. There was so much Stuart Scott stuff. I couldn't get into it.
Crazy how much he influenced like profoundly so many people. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
He was amazing.
There's no denying that when he came in and started doing the catchphrases and things that he was doing, people emulated that. Yeah. There was so many people.
As a hip-hop guy yourself.
Yeah, but there was so many people, especially in the media, who hated him, who hated his shtick, who didn't like what he did. And it was kind of interesting to me as someone who's in the sports media to kind of watch. He passed away really tragically at a young age. That's why it made it tragic, because he was under 50. Yeah. And he had this lengthy battle with cancer, so it was a really noble way that he fought at the end of his life. And so there's all this good you can say about him, like, you know, the way that he lived, the things he stood up for at the end of his, you know, life and career, and the contributions he made to broadcast sports journalism, just, you know, overall.
Yeah.
But there is also this huge segment of people before he got sick that hated his guts, that made fun of him for his eye, that didn't like his delivery, that didn't like the things that he said, that couldn't stand Booyah. There was a huge segment of people who just did not like him.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me that those people were either reversing their course when he died.
When it's convenient to
do so. Or were just quiet and didn't say anything.
Were any of those people who were anti-Stuart Scott, like, you mean like friends or other people in the media?
No, just like people in the media. Like, I remember I used to go to this website called sportsjournalists.com. Okay, have you ever seen that?
No.
It's like a comment board.
But
with
I really like Awful
like,
Announcing is a really good, like, and Richard Deitch,
there
I think
you
is
go.
His name, from
it's
Sports
probably the equivalent. It's probably the equivalent for, like, broadcast people. But this one was like a print journalist, sports journalist website.
Uh-huh.
And people would make fun of him on there all the time and make fun of Booyah and make fun of everything that he said and did and his appearance.
Right.
And I know there's a big segment of people that just didn't like his
his
deal,
his shtick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me that all of the sentiment that I saw online was, and it wasn't just in the, of course, the news stories and the TV stories on him are going to be positive. And I don't think there's really that much. I don't dislike him. I don't think there's really anything negative to say about him. But a lot of people didn't like him. I was kind of surprised that nobody was out there saying, like, you know what? I didn't like Booyah. It tarnished sports journalism.
Or when it first came out, I didn't like it, and I kind of got used to it. Like, nobody even said that.
Yeah, of the stories that I saw online, on TV, there was one or two maybe that mentioned like, oh, you know, he ruffled some people's feathers, or a couple people didn't like what he was doing, but everyone else did. And it was like, well,
the stuff I saw got into that a little bit more, like about how he used to keep voicemails from like bigoted people who would call and leave messages at ESPN. And like he would like keep him over the years to like fuel him.
Oh my gosh!
And like how he played it for people sometimes.
Yeah,
because
there were people that hated him.
Or I mean like
that should have been
like crazy racist. I mean it was.
Yeah.
It's a 30 for 30.
Like, exactly.
It's a 30 for 30.
That's what I'm trying to say. That you made the point that I'm trying to say. It should have been exposed that there's people out there that don't like him.
Right.
And it was just kind of glossed over.
Right. Totally. So I mean, it's a 30 for 30 to be made. He got so much crap, both from an ESPN executive who said, if you say Booyah, you know, like anymore, like we're going to threatening to take you off the air. I heard this morning somebody said, and the story on the radio was like how he took to the internet at that time. It's like 97.
Yeah.
It's like the internet's not even the internet. It's like part of like,
yeah, it's
But he, but they, it was on Olbermann's thing.
Yeah.
Well, Olbermann, and you need
see,
to
I
watch
haven't
it.
Seen that.
If you haven't
watch
seen it,
it
yeah.
See, because Olbermann doesn't, he doesn't mess.
Yeah.
Like, so, he just gets to the heart of the matter.
So Olbermann was saying that, like, as a response to this guy threatening to take him off the air, he was like, he basically wrote this big, long blog post about how great it was that that ESPN allowed him to have the forum to speak, and he traced some of the things he said back to slave songs and like all kinds of stuff, like and how great was it that ESPN allowed him to do what he was doing and and so forth. Like, basically it was the smartest thing he could have done at the time. Instead of fighting it, he praised them for letting him do it. And what were they going to say? No, now you can't do it anymore. No. And so, like, in terms of just like savvy about that stuff, it was really, really interesting too.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. I think that's part of the story. Like, you can't ignore it.
Right.
That he was very polarizing. Whereas it was kind of presented in most ways, it was presented as if he was like universally loved.
Right.
But that, unfortunately for him, wasn't the case.
Totally.
And he had to deal with that.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So that, that's the sad thing that happened I was almost as crushed by Stuart Scott passing as like Chick Hearn. Like, there's some people in Vin Scully, whenever he goes, there's some people, sports, like, on TV-wise, who you grew up with.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this, but when we were in high school, because we're the same age,
who's the same age?
I think you and I, right?
Class of 99.
Affirmative. So when we were in high school, like, I can remember shooting free throws as a sophomore in high school with a friend of mine, and, like, during basketball practice, and like BSing about like Stuart Scottisms, and saying things in practice in high school that were trying to describe your own moves in a way that Stuart Scott would.
Yeah.
And that's
were trying to describe your free throws.
I mean, we were talking during about just different funny things that guys said on SportsCenter. Like, Kenny Mayne was always a favorite of mine too.
Sure.
Like, beyond Patrick and Olbermann, who were really great, Stuart Scott and Kenny Mayne to me were like amazing. That was like an amazing, because they were so different, right? Kenny Mayne's like the straight faced, he'll freak out every now and then, and Stuart Scott's like warm and genuine and also funny. I thought that was like probably my SportsCenter, all time duo there. Rich Eisen's good too, but like, Kenny Mayne and Stuart Scott were always had something fun to do. Anyway, all that reminiscing, saying that like it's a part of your growing up, and when it's a part of your growing up and a part of what you're thinking about, then. It's a sad thing. So definitely I was sad like all morning that morning. Watched his SB speech, got sadder. But watch the Olbermann thing. I think it's definitely worthwhile.
I'll check it out.
So
are you done with your rant about podcasts changing their formats?
So I guess the other
thing. Is there any like.
The other thing I'd say is if you have any suggestions.
Is there any middle fingers you want to throw to any podcast that change it up on you?
No, I don't want to throw any middle fingers. It's just like because I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, okay.
But you can know as a Hurricane and Scroggs listener that we're not changing up too much.
Okay. We're kind of running out of time, so.
We're not running out of that much time. We're okay.
And we have lots of time.
I do want to talk about Slow News Day, though.
Well, I'm just saying, you're not going to change much. That means we better have some What's Crappin' In coming up.
Oh, there will be, but I want to go to Slow News Day first.
Okay, Slow News Day first. Okay. Which one did you want to do first? Because there was two.
Not the wedding.
Okay.
And if you've been watching the news at all over the last couple of days, KSBY did a big like thing on it. They interviewed like sheriff's department people and so forth. But
about this story we're about to talk about.
Totally,
nice.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, just to preface this, just in case you may or may not be listening in our hometown of San Luis Obispo, as you hear in the beginning of our podcast every day or every week. In case you don't live here on the Central Coast, we like to give you an idea of what the slice of life is like here in Slow Town, as the locals call it, or as you may call it, San Luis. So we bring you a segment called the Slow News Day, where we bring you the most interesting news from our community. And there's two stories this week that we're going to talk about. One of them, very crazy, Dateline, January 4th, 2015, from the Tribune at sanluisobispo.com. I'm going to quote here. It says here, man accused of stealing tip jar from downtown Slow business. So you got this guy, Owen, and he's from San Jose. He was arrested Saturday after allegedly stealing a tip jar from a downtown San Luis Obispo business and unsuccessfully evading arrest.
Nice.
So, like, the crazy thing is this guy is so hard up that he steals a tip jar from somewhere. How much money could possibly be in a tip jar?
Depends on the tip jar, but yeah.
Okay,
not,
well, let's
not
say
that much.
Let's say it's the most lucrative.
$50 to $100.
Let's say it's the biggest honey pot of a tip jar ever.
$50 to $100.
$100, you think, is the max?
Probably more.
So this guy's stealing $100
yeah,
from
right.
a bar.
Yeah. Couple hundred?
Couple hundred.
Okay.
Is it worth it?
No.
Who does that?
I mean, unless you're like literally robbing some kind of a crazy amount of cash, like it's never worth it, JD. And even then,
Wait, what is the level where it's worth it?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Ocean's 11? I don't know.
If you're pulling off a multi-million dollar,
yeah.
you'd risk it?
Yeah, no, but maybe. Maybe somebody would. I mean, like somebody sane would.
Well, no, I put it this way. Not would you do it, right. but where? What's the threshold of money where you could understand somebody trying to steal?
It's in the...
Not where you would be okay with it or where you would do it yourself, but you would like, oh, that makes sense. This guy's trying to steal lots of money.
It starts at a run-of-the-mill bank robbery. However
okay,
much
so
you get from that. Like,
probably like a few thousand. That's like what
maybe,
I always hear from those bank robberies. They get
10,
like a few
10 to
thousand.
15?
I don't even think it's that much, dude. The ones that I always, it's like in the single digits.
Because they like pull out the ones and the fives as well.
Yeah,
they don't have that much in their drawer anyway. They only have probably 1,000 in their drawer.
Yeah, have you read
drawer.
Those stories no. where there's bank robberies? It's always like the suspect got away with $3,500.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's the floor. That's the baseline where it starts.
If you say so, man.
Maybe. I mean, people do it enough, right? Where it's like.
Yeah.
The baseline where you could
I think that's what they're getting in the low thousands when they do those bank robberies. Unless it's, you know, the Dark Knight Joker breaking into the vault and getting like all the gold bars.
Let me put it this way.
I don't think these run-of-the-mill bank robberies are getting very much money.
How many guys who break into cars get caught? And how much would an iPad out of a car be worth? Like
if you stole an iPad out of a car, you could probably get a couple $100, I would guess, for it. Or if you sold it on eBay or something,
like,
you could probably get close to full price if it's in good condition.
$300, $400, $500 if it's a good iPad. So you do 6 car thefts where there's no security or one bank. Yeah, I think you're talking.
You're not going to get caught doing a car theft.
That's my point. And you're going to get caught if you rob a bank. Like eventually, like. They don't the
and you're definitely going to get caught grabbing a tip jar.
Yeah. Hello, in slow. Hi. Yeah. Totally.
So, what amount of money is like 10, where you could understand? Where's the line? Like you could understand? Is
10,
it $500?
$10,000.
So, if anyone steals anything less than
10
grand, you don't understand. It doesn't make sense to you.
I mean, it doesn't make sense to me at all. Anytime, but yeah, I mean. I think five
but
or 10,000.
We look at this story and we're like, wait,
like,
hold on, man.
It has to be like changing your life somehow, right? I mean, it has to be like some level of like, I don't want to say like life changing because that's not 5 or 10,000, but like, you know, it has to like be able to make a difference.
Well, the reason this is a big story is because these guys stole this minuscule amount of money.
Okay.
That's why it's funny. We're
that's
like, ha, he stole
That's where the story starts, JD. But the reason why it's a big story
yes.
is
well,
a little
bit
different.
We'll get to the twist. This story definitely has a twist. But I just want to, like, you know, hammer home that it's absurd that this guy's stealing a tip jar, which can't have much money in it, in front of people at a business. There is a level of money, I think, where you aren't shocked that it's that small. It's like if someone goes and robs a store and gets $500, a convenience store or something, are you shocked that it's too small of an amount? No. But this guy is stealing a tip jar. You're like, you're shocked that it's a small amount. It must be. I mean, it must be, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you'd think. I mean, I don't know.
That's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that little do you know that this hapless tip jar stealer, he is arrested, obviously.
Right.
It says here he's put in the rear seat of a patrol car.
In San Luis Obispo.
So this is the slow cops.
He looks super proud of himself.
Yeah, his mugshot's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, he's smirking at the camera. He's like, I almost got away with it,
and
too.
And he's got, like, a skunky goatee beard.
That's true. He does. He's got, yeah. His face is funny, though, right? Like, he's got some other issues. He's smirking.
Potentially.
He's happy with himself.
He's totally
this.
Happy with himself.
Well, maybe this is why he was happy with himself, because here's the twist. While in the rear seat of a patrol car, the suspect slipped out of his handcuffs, squeezed his arm through the safety bars, to open the rear door of the car while it was stopped on the 400 block of Higuera Street. Now, this doesn't say whether the police were inside the car or if it was pulled over. Like,
no, they said on KSBY that they were not in the car.
They were arresting someone else or what?
No, the front door of the car was open. Maybe they were talking to witnesses or something.
So they had just arrested him.
Right. He slipped the cuffs. He somehow like reached around to and got to the door handle, maybe like this, and was able to unlock his own door, and he ran into the creek.
Yes.
He ran down into the creek in downtown San Luis, where they reapprehended him after a fight. So like, not only is he going to jail for stealing a tip jar now, what's way worse is actually evading arrest. What are the other things when you struggle with cops? It's like evading arrest,
resisting
arrest. Yeah, all those things that are like
resisting. Stop right. resist. That's why the cops yell, "Stop resisting."
Yeah, even if they're not.
Yeah, just so they can cover their buns.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So, but that said, like this guy obviously was resisting. He ran into the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there he goes, and now he's in the jail.
But he almost got
he's
away with it.
He's in the jail.
You said they reapprehended him only after he got in a fight. Is that what you said?
He fought with the cops as they reapprehended him.
But how did they find him again?
They said, "Oh, there's that guy running into the creek. Let's all run down there."
Oh, okay. So he didn't get far. No. I'm wondering how far he got.
He never got far. They're like, "Oh, there goes the guy out of the police car."
That's pretty feeble then. I mean, it's crazy that they let him get out after have him.
They might have lost sight of him. They could have lost sight of him for a second.
But. It's sad if you're the police that you're letting someone get out of the car.
And that was the point of KSBY. They're like, "So how often does this happen?" Because it happened earlier.
You have to ask that.
Because it happened earlier this year too, like a couple weeks ago. There was a lady who got pulled over by Madonna Inn, a female, and she ran away and got caught in the Madonna Inn parking lot. Like, she didn't get away far away, but she was on Madonna Road and she ran to the Madonna Inn parking lot and got reapprehended. So yeah, this happened twice in like 3 weeks for the slow cops, and there hasn't been nobody can remember something like this happening ever before in San Luis Obispo, and it's not something that they expect to happen additionally, and the guy said there will be additional training on it.
Additional training on how to put on handcuffs?
How to not. Yeah, he said usually it's when cops are trying to be nice and they don't put handcuffs on people, that's when they usually get away. But
so the cops here are too nice is what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all.
But that's what the cops are saying, maybe. That they were being too nice?
No, not in this case. They said that's usually how it happens. I think that's how it happened with the woman who got away. Yeah. But it's not how it happened with this guy. This guy slipped the cuffs and whatever. They might just not have put the cuffs on tight enough or whatever.
Obviously,
yeah. Yeah. He must have really amazing forearms. Doesn't look like it, but you never know.
Well, he's definitely not Popeye, because then he stuck his arm through.
He's more Brutus. He's more Brutus than Popeye.
It wasn't just he got his hands out of the cuffs. He also stuck his arm through like safety bars to open the door. So like, there's
safety bars aren't very safe, are they?
No. Well, they're safe, I guess. I mean, they're safe to get away from.
Yeah, I guess. So you're right in terms of time. On some level, I know I said we were really good with time, but I'm gonna look here.
You really blew it, Owen.
I blew it.
So let's, you want to talk let's about go this, to what's? Do you want to talk about this wedding or save that for next
time? Save that for next time. Let's go to let's teaser. Go to our what's crapping in
teaser. Everybody, okay. There will be wedding news on the next edition of Hurricane and Scroggs.
There will be
Hurricane and Scroggs. So you want to do?
Was that a good sound effect?
You want to do what's crapping?
Yeah, let's do the what's crapping.
Yeah, so just like Slow News Day, we try to bring you every week a segment called What's Crapping In, where we bring you the latest and greatest in poop news around the world. And this one is particularly interesting. I mean, it's sometimes we do, you know, health stories. Sometimes we do comedy stories, if you can believe that. And, you know, sometimes we do stories that are really about improving quality of life for people. And that's what this one is. This is a story. I'm looking at it's from Mashable.com. It's citing a story from... it's citing Bill Gates' personal blog.
Dateline, the internet.
Yes. So Dateline, internet. But anyways, this is from Mashable. The headline is Bill Gates' latest passion. We all know Bill Gates from the CEO of Microsoft. A machine that turns poop into water.
What? Say what?
That's
poop
what
into water.
Yes.
How does this thing work?
Well, what do you think of when I say that? When I just say poop into water, what are you picturing like Jesus with like a picture of poop turning it to water?
I'm picturing
and then
like
turning it to wine.
Honestly, I'm picturing like a sanitation plant that doesn't just pump water into the ocean that's filthy. I picture that it pumps something filthy into the ocean, but that it also at the same time has some kind of purified liquid that comes out of it that's theoretically safe for something.
It's safe for drinking.
Yeah.
Not for you?
Well, I know that they have these things in places like Texas where there's been big droughts where they have to reuse their water or else they won't have any more water.
So they're just drinking some poop shakes. My poop shake brings all the boys to the yard.
That's disgusting. but yeah, exactly. That's disgusting, but yes.
Yes. Well, that's not exactly what this is, but here's the quote. This is the incendiary quote from Bill Gates. I watched piles of feces go up the conveyor belt and drop into a large bin, Gates wrote on a blog. They made their way through the machine, getting boiled and treated. A few minutes later, I took a long taste of the end result.
You took a long taste?
Yes.
Not just glass, a taste, a long taste.
A glass of delicious drinking water.
Oh, my God.
So there's like a video. Look, here's the still of the video. He's drinking it.
Oh, my God. He looks like he has a very happy look on his face.
Yeah, he does. He looks like the guy who got arrested for stealing the tip jar, right? They're both smirking.
They are.
He's
they are.
Like, ha, 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 ha.
They have a similar timbre about them.
Yeah, totally, totally. So the cool thing about this machine is, and he's proposing to use it in unlike underdeveloped countries that don't have like proper sewage and waste management,
right, sure.
Which is a lot of places in the world, particularly in Africa.
Yeah.
Where they just don't have the development to like
probably parts of Asia.
Yeah,
have that
and there's
too, yeah.
And there's sure. And the waste is contaminating what water they do have. So it's cool because this is like a big machine. It's like a big industrial looking machine. And if there's a video on it too. If you watch the video, you pulling it up.
No.
Watch the video while I'm kind of explaining it. Here, you can watch it right here.
Okay, I'll watch it while you talk.
Yeah. So while I'm explaining what happens, so there's like there's like a conveyor belt, and the poop just kind of like comes down this conveyor belt.
Is it like so? It's like hard.
It looks like it's in
solid.
Bricks, doesn't
it's in
it?
Solid
it's obviously
form.
Been collected somehow and then like put into some sort of sorting machine.
There's arrows towards brilliant engineers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Bill Gates couldn't have done this by himself. He needed brilliant engineers to help him develop this technology. So. The poop comes down the chute.
It's called sewer sludge.
Yes. Oh, pardon me. It's not poop. It's sewer sludge. It's poop. The sewer sludge comes down the conveyor belt. It goes into the machine.
It's a little bit like...
It's like... Here's what it is, the machine. You're trying to describe the machine?
Yeah.
It looks like Willy Wonka's everlasting gobstopper machine.
Fair,
like, remember
enough,
that from the movie? From the Gene Wilder movie?
Yes, I remember.
And then there's, like, things going in, like, things smashing down the fruit and...
But I want a gobstopper.
Yeah, totally. Where's Slugworth?
So the steam goes through like a ton of, you could say the bowels of the machine.
Yes.
The steam goes through the bowels of the machine.
Yes, it goes through the large intestines of the machine and then the small intestines of the machine. And through this process, it's not only creating drinking water. What it does is it superheats the poop to separate the moisture from the carbon.
The hard, yeah.
Yeah, so in this whole through this whole process, it's not only making like carbon... that can be reused. It's taking the steam in the water in the form of steam, and it's making electricity while it's doing it. So it's making enough electricity to sustain itself, and
really
leftover electricity that can be used for other projects as well.
So it's a positive electricity generator.
Yes, yes, as well as a positive water generator.
Holy crap!
Holy crap, indeed.
That was a high five.
Yes, it sounded like that. That was a high five with myself, the second one.
That's a one-handed high five.
This is the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
So I think it's cool. It's cool. It's a cool idea.
I think it's neat, man. I think if you could actually do it, and if I'm sure there's some upkeep on it and some like it's probably somewhat labor intensive. So cost wise, there's a cost to it. But what's the cost of not having water, JD Scroggin?
Death.
Death.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure a lot of the target
and
audience,
and also how do you get that sewer sludge just to the right consistency as well to make it work in the machine?
Yeah.
There's got to be some pre-packaging that happens, right?
There must be. Right. So I mean, if you're in the target demographic for this machine, you're probably not in the U.S. Like this is not something that's going to come to your neighborhood.
And I'm sure it smells really bad, but like in general, like if you can figure out a way to bottle this technology. And get it to somewhere where it needs it. I mean, it seems like a really great deal.
Yes.
And if Bill's investing in it, it probably has some legs to.
Did you see him drink it?
Yeah.
You have to really trust that it's working.
Yeah.
Like that, like, because right
I'm
now.
I'm sure that wasn't his first sip. I'm sure his first sip was much smaller. And I'm sure his first sip had like bleach next to it where he could like drink the bleach after maybe or whatever. Like, you know, he had like the throw up machine so that he could like, if he really didn't think it was a good thing, he could just take a little sip. And then afterwards, he's like, okay, now I'm just going to take it out and act like this is my first sip.
Yeah. Well, I'm picturing the first
run.
Then
he took a long drink.
Well, because they had to develop this technology. It's not like they just blinked their
so
eyes
who was the
and
first
like there
guy?
Was.
So who was the first guy?
Exactly. That's who I want to interview. I want to interview the first person to drink out of this machine. And not just drink out of this machine, but drink out of the prototype of the machine. Like, because they had to do something on a smaller scale. Like, we'll do the scale model first.
Right.
And then we'll test the water to see if it comes out clean. Somebody had to drink it, right? Like, somebody had to take the leap of faith that, like, I believe in this technology so much. I'm going to drink my poop right now and prove it to everyone.
Yeah, and couldn't you think about like the people who have eaten certain foods first, who figured out that this was a good thing to eat this way, like whatever food it was that was growing, and oh, somebody had to try, I don't know, some food for the first time, whatever food
it was. So you think the first person who take a gulp of this water was like, ooh, you know, you ate strawberries yesterday. Is that
no?
Is that what you're trying to say?
No, what I'm saying is like, okay, somebody saw.
I think this person had a cheeseburger.
There was an early human who saw a strawberry, and humans hadn't eaten strawberries before.
Oh, okay. So someone had to take the leap.
Someone had to take the leap. There was an early human who killed an animal and decided to eat it.
Yes, or maybe just found a dead animal and tasted it.
And tasted it.
Yeah.
And said, "Oh, that's good. Maybe I should put it on top of fire." Like, what kind of crazy SOB does that? Right? Like there were
genius engineers.
Genius apparently. Engineers with arrows, with curly arrows pointing to them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yes, I mean there are all kinds of things like that I think about like throughout history. Like everybody had to try something, like, or everything had to get tried for the first time that we consume now. You know, who made an everlasting gobstopper the first time and said, "Oh, this is a good idea to make, like, let's just pour some sugar and like boil it and then like suck on it for a while." Like, yeah. I don't know.
It probably wasn't Bill Gates who took the first gulp of the first prototype of the machine. But it probably wasn't the developer of the technology either. It probably wasn't like the inventor, right? I mean, they had to get some bum off the streets to be like, "Hey, come taste this water." Like, there must have been like an advertisement on Craigslist that just said like, "Hey, you know, need $50. You like water?
Yeah.
Come try some water for $50."
Right.
Yeah. And then somebody did it, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure they did tests on it, right? Yeah, they did tests for bacteria. That's how they're doing it first.
So they didn't do human trials?
No.
You think they probably did test tube trials, then like animal trials?
No, they probably
then
didn't do
human trials?
No, I would do test tube and then human.
You'd go straight to human?
Because if you know what's in it from doing test tubes on it, then then it's just water or not. I mean, there's either water or there's a ton of bacteria in it.
Okay.
There's certain bacteria levels.
Are those the only two that could be in there, water and bacteria?
What else would you have in there?
Like a woody, nutty flavor or I don't know.
Like corn?
Yeah, bits of corn.
Microscopic corn particles.
Yeah.
That have made it all the way through to the bitter end.
Yes.
Literally the bitter end.
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah.
Would you do that? Well, if you saw this ad that said, "Hey, come drink some water for $50 and you're like, "All right, I'm off today." And then you showed up and they told you what you were doing. Would you tell the person? Would you have to tell the person, like, "This is poop water. Test this"? Or would you just say, "Just drink this"?
What country are you in?
You're in the U.S.
If you're in America, you got to tell somebody.
You're in the U.S.
Yes.
So you have to tell them, like, "Okay, Owen, thank you for showing up. Here's your $50. Drink this poop water."
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yeah.
Believe me. Trust me.
Here's the process. Yeah.
Bill Gates agrees that it's clean.
Yeah.
You would do it?
What, drink it if Bill Gates says it's clean?
Yes.
Yeah, because if it's not and Bill Gates says it is, then
you could sue Bill Gates and get millions of dollars.
Boom. If Bill Gates says it, he must be right.
Okay. Well, what if they didn't say Bill Gates? They just said, "Brilliant engineers have developed this machine. Here's some water." Like 10 minutes ago, it was
poop. Do
they
have curvy arrows towards the brilliant engineers?
Yeah. 10 minutes ago, it was poop. Drink it. Here you go.
I don't know.
And then tell us what the side effects are.
Just 10 minutes ago, do they know? Have they done all the tests on it, though?
Well, this is the first run. This is the first glass of water that's come out of the machine.
No, hell no.
You wouldn't do it?
No, would you?
Yeah, I guess.
How much would you get paid to do it?
What, the minimum
what, the
I would
minimum
get paid?
That you get paid to do
well,
it?
Well, I said $50.
Yeah.
I'd probably do it.
For like $10?
Yeah, I would do it. I would not $10, maybe $50. I would do it.
$50.
$50.
For,
if I was, if
for
it was
one
in
whole
the,
glass,
if it was in the neighborhood, if it was, did I?
You're good.
If it was in the neighborhood,
yeah.
And I didn't have to go far, and I was going that way anyway,
yeah.
All I'd do is drop by and drink some water.
Yeah.
I guess I would do it.
Yeah.
$50.
Yeah.
Because then, like, think about it. Like, you could go give interviews after that, and I could write a book.
Yeah.
First man to drink poop.
Yeah, where is he? Yeah. I don't know. That's what makes me think he must be. That's what makes me think he's one of the brilliant engineers.
One giant leap
for poop kind.
Yes,
but that's yeah, but that's why I think it was probably one of the engineers, because otherwise you would have heard about it from whoever did it, right? Whoever
did it. Unless there was like an NDA, you know, non-disclosure, and you couldn't talk about it. I guess I wouldn't sign that.
But you wouldn't sign that. Not for $50.
I need to blab.
Not for $50.
Exactly. That would up the price. If you want me to be quiet about it, I need some more dough.
Now we have to up the ante.
Yeah. I would totally do it. Yeah, whatever.
Totally.
Can't be that bad. I mean, kids, I've seen kids dig into their diaper and eat their own poop before.
Oh,
not my kid, but
not
I mean, I've heard stories about it on Facebook of other people saying that. So, I mean, it can't be that bad, right?
Right. I mean, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad. It's just, yeah, like you said, maybe not that bad, hopefully.
How many particles per million or acceptable level of poop in the water?
Well, and that's an actual thing. Like, pretty sure you can look that up.
Yeah.
Like bacteria, just certain kinds of bacteria that are associated with poop. There's a certain number of particles, like you just said.
Yeah. How many poops per million?
Or whatever it is. There's particles that are allowed and not allowed in our drinking water system. And when it gets over a certain amount, that's when they tell you to boil your water. That, like, when you have a huge rainstorm or something, and it messes up the filtration systems or whatever, or it overruns the sewers, that's when that kind of stuff happens. In case you didn't know, now you know. So if you're listening to us in your car and you can't hear me very well, then I say turn it up. Turn it up in the headphones. Or try to adjust your volumes.
You turn it up, you hear me loud.
Well,
and then I'm too loud. We need to master this thing. We need to mix and master this thing.
If you hear JD loud, then that means you're hearing JD loud.
I know, but nobody wants to hear me loud.
You're loud,
I'm already
though.
Loud normally.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're getting the natural.
You
want to
hear
JD.
Me louder than I already am.
Yeah,
we need to figure out a way to get the levels right, so we're talking at the same level.
The program that we use does adjust levels as I export it.
Okay,
so it's just
so maybe, it's supposed to work.
It's supposed to work. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man.
Never mind what we said. It works. We're both speaking at the same level, and you hear us both equally.
We can keep trying. Yes. Don't pay no attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay no attention to me being louder than Owen.
Yeah. So, like I said before, you can listen to us in all kinds of different places. Are you ready to be done?
Yeah. We've got lots of good stuff for the next time.
We do. Yeah. We're locked and loaded.
Well, because we haven't done them pretty regularly. Like, we've only did one in December, one now in January. We had last one we had before that was like
we've done
late
like
November.
Two since Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry, everybody.
Yeah. I know all of our listeners are crushed.
Complaining about our format changes.
I'm getting so many emails and tweets all day. But if you want to hear us, you can hear us at fansmanship.com. Stitcher, you can listen to us all kinds of different places. Tell people about it if you like it. If you don't like it, shut up and keep listening. You can find JD.
That
on,
wasn't nice.
Well, if they don't like it,
shut up.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anyone it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's good.
But and then keep listening.
So then just because
it'll get
shut
better.
Up, say if you don't like it, tell everyone it's good anyway.
Yeah. That okay. Fine.
You know.
And then if
we'll
you
give
want,
you a glass of water if you come over.
A fresh one.
Yes.
If you want to follow JD on Twitter, you can follow him at SLO College Beat. Blogging with Scroggin on Facebook. RebelMouse.com/JD Scroggin is also a place that JD can be found. You can find me at Fansmanship on Twitter, at Owen Main, with some less sports-related things that I tweet sometimes. Facebook.com/Fansmanship. You can also go to photos.fansmanship.com and check out a lot of the photography that I do from local sports and other things. And hope you have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hurricanes and Scroggs podcast.
Wick, wick, whack. Wooka, wooka, whoop.
at 10 a.m. I kick it off with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop 8 pills of Imodium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon. Wax my tag, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits. You know, I custom crocs.